Welcome to the Car Deal Advisor Podcast Show. The presenter of this show is Hugh Hedrick. Get ready for special motoring legends and great deals on your next set of wheels. So the five red lights have just gone out and it's go, go, go.
Welcome to the Car Deal Advisor Podcast Show. With me is Hugh Hedrick and my very special guest, Jonathan Sutherland.
Hello there, it's good to be back on the show. How's it going, Hugh?
Rather good. Lots of exciting deals and cars that have been launched. And I believe you've been having a great bit of gallivanting, as you could say, over to Germany to some car museums and factories and things.
I have indeed. I've been over to Austria. Actually, I started in Austria. I flew over there and to do a bit of research for the Car Deal Advisor podcast. So I'm sending my expenses through in the next few weeks at all those five-star hotels I've been at. Yes, it's good to go over there and head over to Austria, a couple of days in Austria. Then I traveled by train, actually, through Salzburg, where I did a little bit of research for, again, the podcast, talking to Angela Merkel. And then headed to Stuttgart, the home of, obviously, Porsche and Mercedes-Benz. So very exciting time over there.
Yeah. So in the show tonight, we'll talk about your trip to Germany. And we'll talk about the new deals that are available and in general have a rant about cars and all things, whether it be this week, people carriers, the exciting topic of people carriers. I bet you can't wait. So we'll get started with your trip to Germany. You were visiting Porsche and Mercedes, was that there?
That's right. Well, the most sort of car-based part of the trip was in Stuttgart. And that was really the inspiration for the trip, was to go to the museums at Mercedes-Benz and Porsche. And I did manage to just find enough time to do that. And I'd thoroughly recommend it to anybody. Travelling across Germany by train, you realise what an industrial powerhouse the place is. Yeah. Coming in through the centre of Germany, obviously the old Ruhr Valley. Just amazing, the Rhineland area, what goes on there. You've got the home of Bosch there, obviously Mercedes, Porsche, Getrag, all the manufacturers of all the parts of the cars are there as well. It's just a complete mecca to motoring, really.
Yeah. No, that sounds good because I saw your pictures about from the Porsche Museum and they look fantastic. The range of cars.
Oh, that's amazing. I started off at Mercedes-Benz. I took the, and if you're in Stuttgart, it's very easy to get there. You can get the little S-Bahn train, which is the overhead train, sort of suburban train, I think it means. And you can walk from there. It's a couple minutes walk. Wow. And the what you don't get from the photos that you see is the size of the place. Yeah. It's the area that they've got is equivalent to three football stadiums. Uh-huh. I mean, it's absolutely massive. That's the amount of floor space they have. And I did the guided tour, and you start at the top, and the first thing you see when you get up there, well, the first thing is a horse. And it had a quote from the king, I think it was, of Germany at the time, who said, "There'll never be a replacement for the horse." And then Carl Benz and Gottlieb Daimler obviously had different ideas.
Yeah.
And then you go through to a room where the first ever cars are. And there was Benz up in, Daimler was in Mannheim, just up the road. And Benz himself was in Stuttgart. And the two first cars ever made are in the top floor of that museum. It's amazing to see them sitting together.
Yeah.
And then the guided tour just takes you down through the history of the racing, and then they've got a couple of wings of trucks and buses, and it's amazing. They've got the whole thing set up. They've got sort of old car transporters from the 70s.
All right.
Nice. Full-size ones in the museum. That's how big it is. Yeah. And but the whole things are loaded up with 1970s Mercedes, just like they've come off the production line.
Wow.
And each car on the transporter is probably worth sort of hundreds of thousands of euros because they're all classic cars.
No.
They got tied up there is incredible. They also have the first ever Mercedes produced, which is just called the Mercedes. Mercedes was it's kind of a brand that Benz came up with.
Yeah.
There's only one left. It used to be owned by a guy from which was it Rock? Was it Rockefeller that owned it? It was one of the American industrialists. And Mercedes bought it back again.
Yeah.
But it's the only ones left. And it's the oldest Mercedes in existence. And they said they've had offers to buy the car for 150 million euros.
Goodness.
But they don't want to sell the car.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He said there were several cars in there worth over 100 million euros. Wow. But Mercedes will not sell them. And you can touch them. You can go and touch these cars. They all run. It's just an amazing experience. It really, really was. I thoroughly recommend it.
Was it quite expensive to get in, or was it reasonably
priced? No, not at all. It was €8.
Really?
That's
amazing.
It. €8, and it was €2 to get there on the S-Bahn. So, I mean, the whole cost was, okay, I bought coffee. But yeah,
Coffee was 15 euros, wasn't it?
You know, well, coffee was perfectly reasonable. The whole day out cost me 15 euros to go to the Mercedes Museum. And if you go to the Mercedes Museum, then you get a discount off the price of the Porsche Museum. So that was only, I think, 6 euros to get into the Porsche Museum. And again, it's a similar thing. You go to the top of this amazing, the architecture. If you're an architecture student, you'd love the buildings. Yeah. Again, they take you from the top through the history of Porsche. And the history of Porsche is quite interesting. Let's just say the guy was pretty supportive of the Third Reich.
Oh, dear.
But they dealt with that aspect of their history, shall we say. They didn't ignore it. It was good to see. And you get down to the bottom of the first ever 911 they made, the 959, and all the amazing racing cars that they have. And you just get to see them. And directly opposite is the Porsche Stuttgart main dealer.
All right.
Is like you've never seen. I mean, they had probably 5 991 GT3 RSs in the second-hand section. They had the Porsche 718s. They had a couple of those in stock. A couple of Carrera GTs in stock. And you can just touch them and get in them. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. They're not... It must be owned by Mercedes, I suppose, but... They're not precious at all. Wow. And on the other side of the roundabout is the 911 factory.
All right.
And I managed to snuck down the road and put my camera through the gates, and you could just see 911s just rolling off the production line and being fitted onto transporters. So it's amazing how much history is there. Thoroughly recommend it. And to be honest, a morning or an afternoon in either is probably enough, unless you're absolutely want to read every single sign and look at every single car.
Yeah,
3 or 4 hours is probably more than enough time.
That's really, really good, isn't it? Well, there is our Cardo Advisor top tip of a place to visit, and that's the Mercedes Museum and the Porsche Museum in Stuttgart. Now, going into our next topic, I have a bit of an apology to make to our listeners, because they were probably expecting a podcast last week, but something happened in the middle of last week, which was called the hurricane. And, of course, we had the high winds. And we managed to inherit an extra trampoline. But in the process, the trampoline took out our telephone line and meant that we had no internet and no telephone or mobile for about 6 days. So we're finally back online. It was very late on Monday evening. And now we're catching up. So we will have some extra podcasts for you coming in the next few days. Obviously, there's this one today. And I have Andrew Dixon coming on next week. And also Andrew Cowan, the renowned World Rally legend for Mitsubishi, and who was the winner of the Paris-Dakar Rally. So I'm going to do a podcast with him a week tomorrow, so we're looking forward to that. So it's going to be very exciting as to what we've been able to do, and hopefully see some of the cars, amazing rally cars as well, that he has. So that's going to be fantastic. So getting on to our next section. Now, I also have a little bit of an apology, well, potentially an apology to give to you, Jonathan, because the new Suzuki Jimny has been launched, and it's been launched to massive acclaim. I couldn't believe it. I watched some videos on YouTube, and I thought they must be blind or something must be wrong.
I told you.
Yeah, this car, this new Suzuki Jimny, is seemingly quite good, this new one. Much, much better than the old one.
You sound so surprised. The old one was fine. It was a good, good car.
So, yeah, everyone I've seen so far is lime green. I remember, I can edit all of this out, but it was and turn it around. They were all lime green in the ones that I've seen on the video reviews. But they said it was rather good. It handled an awful lot better. It was obviously very good off-road. And it was slightly more practical and obviously had a bit more modern technology than the old one.
Are magnificent. Yeah, and when can you order one? You through cardealadvisor.com.
You can. Yeah.
And when can I order it?
I think it starts at the end of the year. I think they've taken delivery start at the end of the year, maybe early next year at the very latest.
You're in the queue.
Yeah. There might be a price increase, you never know. There could be such demand to buy a new Suzuki Gymnast. Could be a waiting list.
It will be. It looked phenomenal.
It did look a bit better on the video, I have to say, because the first pictures I thought, I'm not convinced, but it did look a bit better. But so you must have seen some quite funny cars as well, because in Germany you sometimes get cars that you don't get over here.
That's what I was going to talk about. It used to be that you used to go onto the continent and see lots of oddballs. Far, far less now. Because the cars are so homogenised across Europe that you don't see the oddballs. I was in Paris, the traffic there was something else, that's another story. But there's a Renault Talisman, which is a large Renault saloon.
Yeah, like a replacement for the Laguna.
It's a few Dacia models that you don't get over here, which would interest you. You know, cause, well, I like Dacias as well. They're a good.
There's a kind of taxi one, isn't there? There's a kind of people carrier. The Logie or something. Is it a Logie or something?
Whatever you say.
It does look terrible. Even for a Dacia, it looks bad.
It's all based on a Mark 1 Clio, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything's based, it doesn't matter if it's their MPV, their SUV, or their truck. It's all based on a stretched Clio platform. So they all kind of look a bit odd. But apart from the Sandero, which is basically a Mark 1 Clio from 1990.
I thought it was the ones from the mid
2000s. I think it's a bit more recent than that.
Yeah, I think it was the mid 2000s they took it from. Because they do handle just like a Clio, and the interiors are very similar as well. I mean, that's like my Logan is like that, my MCV. It's exactly the same.
Which country in the EU, Hugh, is the Dacia Logan the best selling car?
Hungary, man? No?
It's Romania, where it's built. Really? It's the, I think, the only car which Dacia has the best-selling mark.
Right.
Hungary, the best-selling car is the Suzuki Vitara, believe it or not.
Really? Do they have a factory?
Yeah, they probably do. I don't know that for sure, but they probably do. There's an odd stuff. I was going around Europe, I was looking at the stats for which cars are most popular in each country. Generally, the answer is the Golf. If you're in Austria, Latvia, Germany or Belgium, that's the answer. But there are a few curveballs, and Ireland is one of them. And it's an odd one, Ireland.
All right.
The Hyundai Tucson is the best-selling car in Ireland.
Goodness. Right.
Above the Fiesta or the little Peugeots or Golfs.
They're quite expensive.
Not a cheap car, are they? Yeah.
Aye. Because, I mean, I've got the list up here, and this was from a little while ago. This was October last year, but like things like the Ford Fiesta in Britain, and then the Golf, and then the Focus, and the Qashqai, and then the Mercedes-Benz A-Class. Now we're the top five.
A-Class is top five.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, but it's because of the PCP deals and the lease deals.
The residual, isn't it?
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
I do quite like
one country in the EU, in Europe, shall we say, that might be a bit of a clue, there's an electric car, which is the best-selling car. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
My goodness, that's very strange. Was it a Renault Zoe?
Or is it it's Nissan Leaf. Which country is the Nissan Leaf the best-selling car?
Oh, my goodness me. Belgium?
Well, I gave you a bit of a clue because it's not actually in the EU.
Norway?
Yes, Norway.
Ah.
There you go. That's Jonathan's fascinating fact for the day. If any of the listeners are still there.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's why they're not going to go for a Norway deal now, are they, for Brexit? That's for sure.
Exactly.
Not any people who are car fans.
Yeah.
But, I suppose the new Leaf is quite good, but I wouldn't say it's that good to be a bestseller. But
I think it's tax. They've got normal tax incentives to buy those cars.
Yeah. Well, you think if you took 20% off them, if you took the VAT off them, they would reduce in price dramatically.
In Norway, they've really, really pushed electric.
Ah, right. Oh, well. Oh, that's the thing. Oh, so it's been good then. So you've found lots of interesting cars and that kind of thing. I remember in Spain, there were an awful lot more cars. You get like Renault Clio saloons and estates that you don't get over here. Things like that that were always quite fun because they were quite different. But and Seat. So you remember we used to get the old Ibizas and the one that was based on the Fiat Panda?
The Marbella.
The Marbella, yeah. Remember the Marbella?
Well, you got those in the UK as well. Do you remember those things?
Oh, they were horrendous. But they don't do a Marbella saloon I'm sure I saw a Marine
Corps. Oh, that would be a special.
I can't see them on a waiting list for that. You know,
I mean, they had to be death traps. Yeah, I mean, you got the European crash test. I mean, one thing the EU has given us is those NCAP tests. And the Marbella wouldn't be doing too well on those.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they'll be resurrecting that name for a while. But, you know, unless things are really bad.
I think Marbella, the city of Marbella, is delighted that they...
Yeah,
it's not a market. This chic Andalusian town with a little Fiat-based box based on it.
And no brakes. I think it had worse brakes than the Panda.
Brakes at the front. Yeah. It make the Mark on Jimny seem like a, I don't know, an Elise.
Yeah, rather well sorted. You know, a chassis of dreams, you know.
That's like... quite a machine. Now, if you go abroad now to maybe Brazil... or Mexico even, you do see some different cars. They still get the Clio Saloon over there. But you're right, you don't get the European oddballs that you used to. You know, these you used to go on your holiday flight to Tenerife or Palma de Mallorca, you'd go to the rental car and it'd just be an absolute sea of white Novas, you know.
Or Fiat Unos as well, wasn't it? Fiat Unos, but another popular one.
Yeah, rental fodder.
Aye, well, now they're saying that there's a thing on the news that rental companies, they can't get new stock because of all these new emissions testings and the problems that manufacturers have had to keep up with demand for the new emissions regulations. And so rental companies are actually buying an awful lot of ex-demonstration cars.
Really?
Yeah, low-mileage examples from dealer stock because they desperately need new cars and they can't get them anywhere else. It's going to take too long to get factory orders. I think eventually it will get back in line again.
And that's because the emissions testing, the engines race.
Yeah. And so, you know, because, I mean, if you're at Avis and you used to write, I need 10,000 Focuses, you know, and they can't produce them in time or whatever, or they've had to drop certain models and then they haven't replaced them. It's usually, I think, some of the models that they've liked, they've had to drop. So, you know, they don't want to necessarily take a bet on another car that might not be the right model. It might just be a petrol with the wrong engine or the wrong spec, you know, so this is a problem.
Yeah, they're very picky, I suggest, on the cars that they buy. They want exactly the right spec and exactly the right engine.
Yeah. I think it was on the show 2 weeks ago that we spoke about the new Vauxhall. It's based on the new Peugeot and Citroën Berlingo.
Yes.
The multi-spass type thing. But Vauxhall have made one. And I saw a write-up in the Daily Record that was truly appalling. It was this, when Vauxhall get it wrong, they really get it wrong in terms of, like, it was a dull burgundy non-metallic. And I'm trying to remember the name of what they call it, actually, now. But I can quickly find it for you. The thing name are here.
Well, I remember we spoke about it because the Peugeot version looked quite smart. Yeah. And then I clicked on the Vauxhall version and it was just a dog's dinner. I mean, it really was.
There we are. I've got it here. It's coming up right now. And it's the Combo. They've called it the Combo, isn't it?
The Combo Life. I mean, what name? Who wants to drive a Combo?
No, it was something else. But it just looks really bad. I mean, the things that made the Peugeot and Citroën look interesting, and the Vauxhall just forgot.
You know, they just took them all off. Yeah. What do you think about Vauxhall's latest advertising? They've really gone for the Union Jack, haven't they? They're really going for the Brexit vote.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, isn't it? I mean, and I think, you know, in time they might do well once they get rid of some of their really bad models. They'll come and, you know, they'll start doing better again. Because maybe it's all just going to be body
the range.
No, yeah. Although the Corsa still sells.
Your favourite.
Yeah, that's a terrible car. I'm just trying to think if that was in the top 10, but I don't think it was, thank the Lord. But it still sells well on Motability. But that, you've got to think that's got to be due for even a complete replacement.
Yeah, but we were saying that 10 years ago. When was it launched? It must be 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, the Chevrolet Trax, wasn't it? And then Vauxhall decided to rebadge it. And then when Chevrolet gave up in Europe, it was Vauxhall who took it over completely. But maybe we could hear from if any of our listeners are Mocha owners, they could email us in at podcast@cardioadvisor.co.uk to tell us the horror stories of owning a Vauxhall Mocha.
Yeah, why did you buy it?
Yeah, or perhaps it was good. Maybe we'll have our minds changed miraculously by the Mocha actually being a reasonable car. We'll come back to that after this short break. At cardioadvisor.co.uk, we can help you save thousands of pounds on your next new car or van. And we can also source second-hand cars as well. And we can save you money on car rental, whether it be in the UK and abroad. Just click our rental link on the website. And we'll give you a free gift if you trade in your car with We Buy Any Car using our special website link. So go to the website now and see how much you can save. And it's back to the show. Thanks for listening. Although, I can see the look on your face there. I don't think you're going to agree with that one. But moving on swiftly.
Yeah, I just
think
most people are incredibly undemanding on their cars. Yeah. I think you and I, we like a car that drives well, it's got a slick gearbox, you know, turns in nicely, got good visibility. But most people, they don't think about these things. It's rather like the amount of thought that you'd put into a toaster is what most people put into a car. Oh, there's a local dealer. He's called Darren. He's always sold me a Mokka. It's got a Union Jack on it. It must be good, despite the fact it's designed for the Thai jungle somewhere. And there's now littering every council estate in the UK. Yeah, we'll take one of those, thanks.
That would make a great advert. That would make a kind of thing in estates across the country and the Vauxhall Mokkas marked outside. But it was, that was really kind of...
Well, they won't have a Mokka now. They've all got A3s, yeah. A-classes by
Audi
the standard.
Audi Q5s, isn't it? You can get an Audi Q5 with no deposit or one payment, £250 down, and then £250 a month. I mean, incredible.
Sorry, for a Q5?
Audi Q5, yeah.
The new model Q5 for £250 a month?
Maybe I might have got that wrong. Give me a minute. I will double check. I had it written down here, but here we are. You can tell this is a live show.
No, I mean, that's...
Hang on, I will double check. I'm pretty
I can't sure. be tempted by that.
It was on a lease site, you know, that was a lease, but it was a... you can see me hacking over here to try and get the deal.
This is our car dealer advisor live at work, getting you the best prices up to the minute available in the UK.
It was maybe a Q3, sorry, I think it was a Q3.
Ah, right. But yeah, that's what really...
A Q3, right, 1.4 TFSI, 150 sport 5-door manual petrol is £184.61 plus VAT per month. That's cheaper.
That's not a lot of money. I mean, I know it's a Q3 and it's not the greatest car in the world, but it's,
you get the right colour. It looks all right.
The new one is imminent, right?
I don't know. Is there another one coming?
Is
there
It is. It's just been launched, actually.
I mean, I still think that's
much, much sharper. Second generation Q3.
Yeah. And here's one that you would like. Another good deal for you this week.
Oh, Jimny.
Nope. Volkswagen Golf. 1.6 TDI. 115 horsepower. But it's the GT 5-door. And this is on a personal contract hire. So it includes the VAT. And it's only £180.56 a month.
And yeah. But at the minute, my monthly cost for my Volkswagen Golf 105 TDI SE DSG is £0 per month.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that is a very good offer, though.
I'd rather pay nothing.
That was on a 2-year deal. And you can get...
That's not bad, then. That is quite good.
Yeah, you can get the Arbarth 595 hatchback, again on a personal contract hire, for just £168.61 a month, with an initial deposit of £1,517.51.
There are some amazing deals there from the car dealer advisor himself.
Yeah, that's pretty good going, isn't it? That's based on 6,000 miles a year. That's 9 plus 35 profile. But, I mean, it just shows you there are some phenomenal deals about on all sorts of cars just now.
Well, the recession has started. Clearly, it started.
Yeah, I think there has been a slowdown. Definitely been a slowdown. But, I mean, look, Range Rover Sports, right? Range Rover Sports, this is the 2-litre petrol, but with a 300 horsepower engine and HSE automatic.
Basic.
Just a 5-seat, yeah. And it's £563.81 a month, including that.
And you too can look like Colleen Rooney.
That's on a 4-year deal for 6,000 miles a year. It's nine down, so it's just over £5,000 down. But, I mean, that is a Range Rover Sport at the end of the day. So, it's, I mean, it's...
As I said, prestige is dead.
It's probably on Motability at that kind of money.
Oh, it will be. You don't laugh about it. It's your human right to have a Range Rover Sport. That's it. Yeah.
But a car that is more expensive than a Golf. Okay, the initial deposit is a bit more is less. But the car, my car, the Dacia Logan Turbo Diesel, but this is the new Comfort model. is £333 a month and 5 pence, including VAT.
Wow, you could have a Ranger of Sport for a couple of quid more.
Yeah, I was amazed. I mean, and yet it doesn't depreciate that badly. And that's on a 2-year deal with 10,000 miles a year.
It's yeah, you're not getting 65 to the gallon out of your Range Rover Sport, though. You will out of your Dacia Logan.
But you get, like, a brand new Range Rover Velar, 2-litre TD4 180, 5-door, for £409.72 a month on a personal contract tyre.
Yeah, it's high residuals. It's got such high residuals.
Yeah, so it just shows you that for our listeners, there are some phenomenal deals. Because if you had to finance that, you'd be paying 45 grand, 45 to 50 grand to buy that car. So you're paying a fraction of what that car costs. And it will depreciate a bit, even though the residual is quite good. It's still going to come down a bit after a few years. So it's really, really not a bad deal at all. Here's a good one as well. The Skoda Octavia 2-litre TSI. The RS version, the VRS, with 245 horsepower. It's the manual. And it's only £256.79 a month, including that. And that is on a 3-year deal, 6 plus 35. And obviously there's a deposit involved in that too. But I mean, that's cheap.
So how big is the deposit? That's kind of a critical detail.
£1,540.
Okay, pence. And the mileage?
That's 8,000 miles a year.
Yeah, it's probably a bit low though, isn't it? We should probably do a bit more than that.
Yeah, I mean, if you put that
though.
Up, it would
be. RS is a good car.
Yeah, it would maybe be another 20 quid or so to put on up to 10,000 miles thereabouts. But I mean, it's incredible. In fact, this is probably the best deal. Out there just now for someone who needs quite a big car, which is the Skoda Octavia. I see you laughing in the background.
Such a good deal. He's lost his breath. There we go. Yeah, soon.
You'll like it because it's petrol. It's a TSI 115 SE technology, which has got the start-stop, 5-door manual, and it's only £165.05 a month, including VAT.
What was that again?
It's got such a long bloody title. Sorry, it was someone in the Skoda Octavia.
I forgot what it was by the start. It was like something about stop start DSG 1.4 SE.
You're not too far.
Skoda.
Away. It's the Skoda Octavia hatchback. 1 litre petrol, 115 horsepower, SE technology.
And that is the best selling car in Poland and Croatia, just for our listeners.
All right. That was good. They're switching off in numbers. But
I think they might be.
I mean, it's only £165.05 a month, which is incredibly good. And it's only £990.29 for a deposit, and that includes VAT. And that's 8,000 miles a year on a 2-year deal, 6 plus 23.
Right.
So there you have it.
I think our listeners might be beginning to just kind of get slightly bleary eyes, Hugh.
I should have said, you need to get the notepad out. And a pen. They're going to find out what's happening.
If anyone's still listening, I'll be astonished as we read through car deals.
Well, part of it is that they want to find out the best deals available in the UK. And I have to say, I think these are pretty much there for what we've got. But yeah, but there's lots and lots out there. So, of course, they can come to the website at www.cardealadvisor.co.uk and they can see the deals there, or send us an email at info@cardealadvisor.co.uk and we'll get back to you straight away with a quotation, and I'm sure we can meet your needs and more with the car or van of your choice. So then, Jonathan, what would you say in closing tonight would be your bit of advice for the week on cars?
Advice for the week, generally, or car-related?
Car-related, of course.
Car-related, okay. Well, yeah, just stick with the car you've got.
Oh, no.
You asked for that. No, I think the most important thing to do, I do think generally that the cars have almost reached a plateau. So the only reason to change now is really if you want extra technology in your car. I think the MPG, I mean, 10 years ago, we pretty much got there, didn't we? It hasn't improved that much since then. Safety with NCAP hasn't really improved that much. So the only reason to change up is really to get autonomous driving systems, perhaps, or add some technology to your car. So I think if you don't have adaptive cruise control, I think that's something you need on your car. I think if you're driving a manual car, you've got to ask yourself really why you really need an automatic car. And if you don't have a car with either Android Car or Apple CarPlay, then you really do need to upgrade as well. So if you've got all those things, stick with the car you've got, but the chances are you haven't, get in touch with Hugh, get yourself an automatic with adaptive cruise control, with Apple CarPlay, and you're going to be laughing.
Yeah, no, I think that is very, very good advice, because we've got a Renault Clio with sat-nav, and it wasn't working at all, and it's very, very basic. the mapping system was not very good. And the only way to fix it, also because when we tried to put in the map, you know, or the addresses, it was very choosy as to what you could put in. And it didn't recognise a lot of areas and addresses as well, which was not good.
Did you use it in France?
It'd probably do very well in France, but not in Britain. But what I did was I had to do a factory reset. So I reset the map, as you can do on the system. And that actually got it working again, and we were able to put in some postcodes and things and try and find the way home. But in the end, I used my phone because it was actually.
Of course, you do, because the mapping is live, the traffic information is live, and the maps didn't go out of date.
Yeah. I was quite disappointed because I thought, you know, we've bought this car because it's got sat nav, and actually.
But you know that, Hugh. You know that it's rubbish. Secondhand cars with sat nav. I mean, you can buy cars with sat nav from the year 2000. You know, and it's absolutely hopeless. You don't need it. You just need a good interface, a good screen mirroring or Apple CarPlay, and away you go. Because everything is live. It's up to date. And it comes through your phone. You get your messages. You get your music all through your touchscreen. And it's absolutely essential. And I just say to listeners, if you don't have it, just get it. Just get in touch with Hugh. Ask him to get you a car with Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, and you will not regret it.
All right. That's great. I think my screen has just gone blank, so I don't know what's happened there, but can you still hear me?
I can hear you, and I can still see you.
All right, let me just check. It might well be my monitor, so I will just switch off for a wee second and then put it back on again. There we are. Try that again. See, hopefully it's working. I don't know what happened. There's enough.
I think it's all still going. The computer was still running here. It may just be the monitor.
Ah, that's it. Yep, you're back online. Yeah,
we're back on there. I think that's fine. You weren't roboting. The connection was good.
Well, that's fine. Well, thank you very, very much, Sean. It's been fantastic. And we didn't even mention, well, we mentioned MPVs once, but that was that. But we can.
I think we got away with it.
Yes, exactly. I'll have to change that at the start. But yes, thanks to all our listeners. And as I say, there'll be more podcasts coming in the next week. We're going to have Andrew Dixon and also the renowned rally driver and the winner of the Paris-Dakar rally, Andrew Cowan, which will be next week. At the end of next week, we'll have that up and running as well. But we've had some fantastic advice from Jonathan, as usual, with some great places to visit and some great car advice regarding making sure you get Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, which is definitely true. Definitely recommend that. And we will speak to you soon. So to all our listeners, drive carefully and remember to visit the website cardoadvisor.co.uk. But you've been listening to the Cardo Advisor podcast show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special guest, Jonathan Sutherland.
Bye. Bye.
For more information, go to cardoadvisor.co.uk and you can see all the special offers that we have on the website. And remember, we have our YouTube channel, which is at Hugh Hattrick, and also we have our podcast on Podbean, on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Anchor FM. And if you like what you hear, please like and subscribe to our shows, or you can donate every month for just a pound. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.